Chapter 1. Wilt thou unkind thus reave me? I'd like to introduce you to this story in the same manner that it was introduced to me. And that's with a recording and no context. What you're about to listen to is a little bit tricky and can only really be experienced for the first time once. I want to give you a moment to make sure that your listening environment is ideal and that you can give this recording your full attention. If not, if there are distractions or potential interruptions, I want to encourage you to pause this podcast right now and return to it when you can give this recording your full attention. Okay, ready?
Wilt thou unkind thus reave me of my heart, and so leave me, and so leave me? Farewell, farewell, but yet or ere I part, O cruel, kiss me, sweet, sweet my jewel. Hope by disdain grows cheerless, fear doth love, love doth fear, beauty peerless, beauty peerless. Farewell, farewell, but yet or ere I part, O cruel, kiss me, sweet, sweet my jewel. If no delays can move thee, life shall die, death shall live, still to love thee, still to love thee. Farewell, farewell, but yet or ere I part, O cruel, kiss me, sweet, sweet my jewel. Yet be thou mindful ever, heat from fire, fire from heat, none can see sever, none can sever. Farewell, farewell, but yet or ere I part, O cruel, kiss me, sweet, sweet my jewel. True love cannot be changed, though delight from desert be estranged. Farewell, farewell, but yet or ere I part, O cruel, kiss me, sweet, sweet my jewel.
Mysterious, right? A woman reading a strange and old-sounding poem slowly transforming into a man. It was enough to get me to stop what I was doing and go over to my computer so I could see what I was listening to. It was at this point that I learned the first bit of context. The piece is called Wilt Thou Unkind Thus Reave Me, and it's from a record called 10 Explorations in Trichism. Who am I?
It's a mystery to me.
Oh, no.
My name is Austin Larkin.
Yeah, and how would you describe yourself?
Green. I'm so green.
My name is Owen Earl, and I am a freshman composition major here at Cornish College of the Arts.
Nice to meet you, Owen.
Hello.
I'm Ryan West. I'm a fine arts major here at Cornish.
Welcome to Cornish College of the Arts, where our story takes place. If you've ever been to art school before, these people and this place is already somewhat familiar to you.
Well, I'm Maddie. That's about it.
That's Austin. I'm deeply in love with him. He's, you know, there's some people here who are more the real deal than other people, and I'm pretty sure everyone's a fraud at the heart of it, but Austin's, like, better at being a fraud than some of us.
Thank you.
You once described your aesthetic to me as dirty clown. Do you remember this conversation?
Yes, and actually, I've told that to more people than just you.
Well, okay, anyways. Ryan looks like a dirty clown, but I would add European in there, like French.
Yeah. Like cigarettes and chocolate for breakfast, dirty clown.
Right. Do you smoke cigarettes?
No, but I speak French.
So, there's a lot of people that, in one way or another, are relevant to this story, but For the time being, there's one person other than myself that I would like you to remember.
What is Nick McElprang?
Bonk!
Dee-om, da, dee-a, dee-a.
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-bop, dum-bop, dum-dum-dum-bop,
dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-d
Alice McElprang, and I'm a composer, pianist, studying at Cornish too.
Right.
Sophomore year.
And then...
20 years old? Okay. How far should I go?
Yeah, like middle names. Hey, so this is Nick. You are my best friend, and your presence in my life has been grounding at this school. And I know that you sort of like squeam away from that. Nick, you're an intellectual friend. I haven't had an intellectual friend, and you are also a composer. And that's something that's fantastic. And, well, okay, I love you. And I'm really excited to be doing this project with you. And you're just great. And I sometimes talk about you. And whenever we do, it's just like, oh, my God, Nick is the greatest.
Well, that's a very nice introduction. It's very generous of you, Owen. You're also one of my good friends, too. And I enjoy our conversations.
Nick is my co-host. And it probably goes without saying, but I think a lot of the heart of this story is really the relationship between Nick and I.
But like, maybe...
Okay, no, I'll...
Describe me to if someone that you were like,
right,
what's
everybody.
In... You know, what's
Owen
like,
Earl. He loves fonts. He knows things about fonts and that I don't notice. That's Owen. Owen's composer. Person of ideas. Person making making art, and who is smart and having a lot of interesting conversations, and very reflective person. Sometimes talks a little bit. Sometimes not necessarily. Sometimes a little bit rowdy in class. Sometimes, but.
There's sort of the, if you're watching a show or something, there's one character that's like the new guy that doesn't know what's going on, and then they're like, hey, I don't know what's going on, and then
okay.
And you relate to that as an audience member because
you don't know what's going on,
right? So I need you to not know what's going on, Nick.
Okay, well that's fine, because I don't know anything really about this other than the little that you mentioned to me so far,
right?
So.
Okay. This story starts with my discovery of a record called 10 Explorations in Trichism. Picture me, I'm in my room, and I'm cooking lasagna. And as I'm doing this, I'm listening to this collection called The Avant-Garde Project. And it's just on random, so I'm just listening to music on random. And this track comes up, and it really sort of catches my ear.
Wilt thou, unkind, thus reave me of my heart?
It starts out, and it's just someone reading this poem, and it sounds like a woman who's reading it, you know. And as the poem progresses, her voice starts sort of getting lower, and by the end of the piece, it is unmistakably someone with the male vocal cords.
Love doth fear.
And it's kind of freaky, because the moment that you realize this is after it should have been obvious, you know what I mean? And so there's this sort of being strung along for a bit where you're not even fully conscious of what's going on, but it's sort of like it starts getting less and less like a woman until you sort of have to confront this thing that you're like, oh my God, that wasn't a woman, and it probably wasn't a woman the whole time. And it's sort of like you're being tricked. And so I ran over to the computer, and it's a track from this record called 10 Explorations into Trichism.
Kiss me, sweet. Kiss me, sweet. Sweet, my jewel.
The record was released in 1951. And I don't actually have a physical copy of it. In fact, at the time of many of these interviews, I didn't even know what it looked like. What I did have was audio files of each of the tracks on the record, as well as transcriptions of the liner notes. The record is many things, but mainly I think it serves as a kind of proposal for and introduction to a new kind of art. One of the points of this project for me is to introduce others to the concepts of trickism.
Trickism, stupid name. Principle is you can make art that causes people to have a moment where they question themselves.
Was someone helping you?
And the way that you create that moment is setting up expectations and then basically breaking those expectations in some way.
Can I show you something?
And in doing that, it forces people to confront assumptions. So you create a situation in which people can make certain assumptions, and then you break those assumptions.
You called me Marcia.
Did I? I'm sorry. That was forward of me. I apologize.
How did you know my name?
I've probably seen you around the store.
No, you haven't. I've never seen you.
This is the Twilight Zone.
The Twilight Zone?
The television show of the Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Right, the episodes that are good, you're left with this feeling of just like, what is going on? And I'm confused, and it's totally trickism.
She has some idiotic story about having purchased a gold thimble on the 9th floor.
9th floor. Mr. Armbruster. I trust to inform the lady that this store has no 9th floor.
Trickism takes the rules that you expect and know and then breaks those rules in a way that you didn't know could happen, right? So, like, there's this story about this woman who goes to a department store.
Somebody, please, I'm locked in here.
And then she gets locked in the department store at night. I can't get out. And then all of the mannequins come to life. Mm-hmm. And then it's revealed that she's a mannequin, right? And it's sort of funny, but it's this, like, holy crud. It's very freaky to watch because you have no idea that that was possible. Like, that wasn't in the rule book because it starts... Here's the real thing about this story is it starts out adhering to very, very strictly sort of to the normal story principles, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a woman goes to a department store. Nothing's weird about this world. This world works like our world, right? And then it ups it a bit. So she goes in and she goes to the floor that's like the top floor that no one ever goes to, and there's only one person working there. And they have the one thing that she wants. And it's like, wow, that's weird.
Well, there she is. There's a woman who waited on me. Miss? Miss, I wonder if you'd...
And then it ups it more, where, like, then she sees a mannequin that looks like someone that she worked with. And then it sort of breaks into this other world that you don't expect in some ways. Yeah. Like, it crosses over the threshold. And I think that's what happens with trickism, especially this whole wilt thou and kindness read me thing, where it starts out where it's woman and it starts sort of easing into that direction and you're like, okay, this can happen, and then it crosses over a threshold and that's what creates that moment in you as an audience member, if that makes any sense. I was having a lot of really interesting conversations about trickism when I first sort of ran across it and some of its implications, and I was like, these are interesting enough that it would make a good podcast.
Yeah, it seems clear to me. I mean, it's definitely, I think, definitely interesting that I've never heard of that before. I mean, I've never heard any of that as a movement of music before.
Have you heard of trickism?
No.
You haven't heard of this?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Have you ever heard of trickism?
No. You know, you're the only person I've ever heard about it from.
Right.
And I heard about it from you, so.
Yeah, I've talked to quite a few people, and not a single person at Cornish, an art school, has heard of this movement of art before.
Did you go to the have you tried going to the library? Are there any kind of, you know, books on this or, you know, any other kind of information? If you'd like to try to take more of a, I don't know, scholarly approach to it, you know,
right.
Not looking past just Google, but going on to, you know, other things, you know, scholar, you know what I mean, like academic journals or,
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah,
looking on maybe the library databases that we have, or
I
find something
I
there.
Haven't as of yet, but I'm gonna tell you my logic for that, which is that I want to document that as part of the process.
What do you mean?
So,
document you're doing that as part of the process.
Right, right, of making this podcast. Okay. So at this point, it is my idea, my vision, my whatever, that I'm going to make a podcast. And the reason, my kind of logic behind, okay, why does this seem like something worth doing is because most of the time when you find out, like I remember when I learned about Dada, mm-hmm. where it was like, I hadn't heard of that before. And so I Google it and there's like a Wikipedia page and you read it and you're like, oh, that's interesting. And then you know more about it. That was not my experience with Trickism. That was kind of the moment where I was like, okay, this is like a story. It's just dumb luck. That, like, this is a story that sort of fell in my lap in some ways. That's my motivation for creating this.
In your immediate research of it, you were able to find basically nothing. Your immediate research, which is interesting. So it's somewhat esoteric of a topic. It's interesting that you stumbled across it and are, you know, pursuing a kind of research on it, you know, through a podcast.
So what I've been doing is I've been playing people the recording of Wilt Thou and Kindness Reave Me.
I can't help think of kind of gender queerness when I hear that in particular.
It was kind of viscous in a way. And I liked a lot the pitch changing gradually. Imperceptible changes, I think, are a treat. And I could sense that it was the same person reciting the words, although my perception of the voice was changing.
For me, it's like interesting to hear somebody express some sort of romantic feeling within their gender changes. You know, it's sort of, that's like trippy.
Because it's shifting from this like perceived feminine voice to the perceived masculine voice, it's kind of creating this almost homoerotic trick if it's for like these men. It's like presenting this woman who's like whispering these sweet nothings, and then all of a sudden you realize it's
like the words.
So the words are definitely invitational to the observer of, or like the consumer of this music.
Maybe its intention would be that you listen to it and you're some dude and you're like, wow, that's hot. And then at the end, it turns into, like, a guy. And you're like, ah, I've been bamboozled. I've had sexual feelings towards what's now a man. And it's sort of like, haha, you're gay.
When a man expresses love and when a woman expresses love, it's different.
Right.
You know, with this one, it's interesting because the content and the material and everything is the same. It's just the voice is different. You know, when a woman says it, how does it have this one meaning? And then when a man says it, how does this have a different meaning?
Right.
They feel different somehow.
I don't know. I feel like I could go into this in depth, like what I feel this could be taken, but I feel like that would be putting it into a modern context.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
I am on something of a wild goose chase, I think, and I would like some help with researching things.
Okay.
And so that's what I have as a research question.
Sounds like fun.
I went to the library online with the little audio recorder, and I put it on the counter, and I asked them to help me research Trickism.
Explorations into Trickism.
So you mean like a vinyl record?
Yeah, but It wasn't something physical that I had.
Okay. And then they caught me with the audio recorder and chewed me out.
Oh, you've been recording this whole time.
I'm sorry.
You need to tell people when you're recording them. That's unethical.
I felt really bad.
No.
I'm so sorry. Can I use the I don't know what I'm doing yet defense?
I don't believe you.
I'm sorry.
I went in after. I got the recording and then I went in after and apologized.
Couldn't figure out how to turn it off.
No, I totally knew what I was doing. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell him, like, oh yeah, I've been recording you for the past 20 minutes.
Oh, so you were trying to cop out, like,
yeah.
To pretend you didn't know
how. That's exactly what I was doing. I was like,
oh, sorry, I didn't know I was recording.
Yeah, oh, for sure, that was what was going on. And she
did they just call him like, you knew you were recording?
Oh yeah, that's what she was like, I don't believe you, is what she said. And then Colleen, do you know her? She was, yeah. She was like, sometimes I do that. And I was just like, I suck. I'm sorry. Anyways. Well, it's, you know, this is a learning experience. I'm at college. I'm here to learn how to do a podcast. This is just one of many things that I get wrong.
Yeah.
There's two things I'd like to explain right now for the sake of clarity. The first is written communication. So that's emails or physical letters. In order to make it work in a podcast form, I had my friend Colleen record them in the studio. The voice you're about to hear is Colleen reading an email. She didn't write the email. She's just acting out what the email says so that you can all hear its content. The second thing is you're going to hear a beep noise, like the bleep that you hear when people swear. I'm not censoring swearing in this podcast, so if swearing offends you, this is a warning. What I am censoring is the names of people and their contact information if they don't want their names and contact information released to the public.
Owen, I did some looking into Trickism as you requested, as well as the composer Linda Alden. I'm sorry to report that I couldn't find anything on either. You might want to reach out to James, who is a music historian at UW. If he doesn't know anything offhand, he would at the very least be able to point you in the right direction. His email is jf.edu. Good luck. Let me know if there's anything else we can help you with. Gail.
Cool. Did you talk to meet this other guy, this UW guy?
Yeah, I wrote him an email.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, I want to ask you some questions about Trickism.
Hey, gents. Wishing you both well on this endeavor, but I will not be able to participate. I'd love to hear the results, however, when you are finished. Peace, James.
The response is weird. Yeah, but at the end of the day, though, the reality is that the wording of the email is probably not very interesting to the listeners and is not the most interesting thing. What's more interesting is the fact that you're not able to really find any information about this after contacting the Cornish Library and then also going into the University of Washington Library. That's very strange.
Yeah. Approaching researching this, I think there are kind of, in my head right now, three different ways to approach researching it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is through my own means, and I consider this sort of digital research, scouring the internet, that kind of thing. Another one would be analog research, which is the whole asking librarians for questions, asking music historians, trying to, through somebody who knows somebody, find thing. And then the third thing is kind of reverse engineering research, where it's like, okay, we've established that pretty much nobody has heard of this except for me. So the question is, how come I've heard of this? Where did I hear it from? Where did the person that I heard it from hear it from? My own one thread would be through the Avant-Garde Project. But the idea then is that if I can get a hold of the Avant-Garde Project guy and say, like, hey, where did you get this record from, right? Then try to follow it backwards that way. So I wrote an email to the Avant-Garde Project dude, and the premise was basically just like, hey, man, I'm doing a podcast that's research stuff, and it includes the Avant-Garde Project, and it'd be nice to, like, talk or whatever. So I sent that email out.
Kind of going directly to the source.
There is this online database called the Avant-Garde Project. And what it is it's this crazy guy that I am having trouble getting in touch with who digitizes avant-garde records. And there's kind of two criteria to be in the Avant-Garde Project.
to my knowledge. One, be related to the avant-garde, and two, be a record that isn't available commercially anywhere, that you wouldn't be able to acquire or listen to this record outside of the avant-garde project. One of the installments of the avant-garde project is this record.
AGP-138 is a transcription of an LP released on Nixa Records, TRB-18400, in 1951. It features 5 verbal and 4 instrumental performances of works by composer Linda Alden. Alden's concept of trichism is presented through each of the pieces. The transcription is clean, save some tracking distortion in the latter half of the 9th track. Any other apparent record artifacts are present, I believe, intentionally. Although the LP is entitled 10 Explorations in Trichism, both the track and the record listing only include 9 tracks. No comments on intentionality. The text file includes the original liner notes.
Well, I'm now curious about this person and how the fuck they discovered trichism. I mean, as my first experience with a work of trichism, I'm now curious as its other examples.
Hello, I'm Linda T. Alden, and welcome to 10 Explorations into Trichism, my very first record. Trichism comes in many forms and has been around perhaps as long as storytelling itself. It is more of a philosophy that can be applied to existing art than an original form of storytelling. I'm excited to share with you some of the trickiest creations of myself and friends. As with most records, this record has 2 sides. We use this convention as a handy, 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 tis confection as a dandy lit, his correction a said and belittle, big correction and said belittle, dupe in Gretchen and sand belittle, dupe in French is and sand bell, dupe is Frenchy sandbag. Rate of a second Frenchy stand in hate. A sexy French is standing here. Sexy French stand here and iodize.
I like that a lot. That's really nice.
Yeah?
I like that a lot, yeah. Well, one thing I liked about how kind of like subtly cheeky I felt like the introduction was and her taught of it. And then when I started doing that loop, it was really nice about how it was just really nice the way that developed, the way the words changed and the sounds changed, the way that things became elongated over time. You know, that was really nice.
I think the intention is that it sounds like a record skipping, and if you bought this on a record, and then you're like playing it on your record player, which is context that is lost for us. Imagine you put this record on and you start it, and you're like, oh boy, I'm gonna hear my new record, and then it starts doing that.
Oh right, I never even thought about that actually. In the context of the 50s, there's no YouTube poop, there's no internet meme,
and this is a physical record that we would be listening to,
and it's a physical record, yeah, right. That would be pretty. Yeah, I could see that really being, kind of a surreal experience.
And I would be a little scared, because I would first just be like, oh no, it's skipping, but then the word starts changing in the skipping, you know? Uh-huh. It's just like, I don't know. I like what you say about her being cheeky, too, though. I think there's something truthful about that.
Yeah, almost like a precocious, young adult or something. Kind of has that vibe to me. It's a little like, I got you, kind of voice.
It is.
In a way, it justifies trichism as being a part of humanity, in a sense. If that makes sense at all. That idea that it's been around since the beginning of storytelling is very... makes it seem like an intrinsic desire in humans to trick and change and mess with.
Do you agree that it's inherent in some ways in storytelling, that it's that perhaps the idea of pulling a switcheroo is
I think it has become that. You need something to change eventually, otherwise it's gonna be a really boring story that just goes on and on.
Those are my favorite kind to tell.
I know. That's accurate.
trickism may as well be non-existent, because at this point I cannot find any information on the subject. Internet searches, professors, teachers, librarians all come back totally empty-handed. What's more, when I reach out to Lou the Avant-Garde Project guy, instead of an email response, I get a domain failure notice, the kind you get when an email changes or doesn't exist anymore. It's strange to me that something I find so fascinatingly interesting could be totally lost to time.
I love this record. I absolutely... Do you know what I mean when you fall in love with something? And it's like a piece of music in this case, and a lot of times for me. And you're like so into it that I keep consuming it over and over and over again. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. And, sure, yeah.
And that sort of has been my experience with this record. I started listening to it basically 24/7. The entire record just over and over again. Like start to finish, start with that Linda Alden track of Hi, Welcome. And then to the end, in listening to it over and over again, it creates an expectation where something is going to be broken. I sort of assume that nothing makes sense. But so sort of the pinnacle of this experience for me was I was at a burger restaurant, and there was a sign on the door inside the burger restaurant that said employees only. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, I spent at least 15 minutes just standing there and looking at it and being like, I don't know what this means. And that experience of being like, I'm confused and I couldn't tell you why, I think is sort of the intention behind Trickism.
I'm still amazed that this shit got pressed onto vinyl, you know, in the early 1950s.
That's, as in, like they got really through that really... part they got proved to play, yeah. That Linda was got the stamp of approval.
Yeah. So that's great, you know. I really like that.
Yeah, it's very beautiful over there.
Over where?
It's very beautiful over there. The two other things that I'll say about why I love this record is, to me, that experience is the ultimate artistic experience.
Okay.
Is to have a piece of art that after you consume it, you walk away seeing the world through the lens of that art.
Okay.
And so because I've been listening to this record, I then am sort of primed in some ways to see the world in this very surrealist way. And it meant that I had this experience that I would never have outside of that context, where I'm looking at something that makes perfect sense. But because I've been sort of primed, mm-hmm. It doesn't feel real. I think that's the biggest thing, is it doesn't feel real.
Okay.
It feels like a movie or like symbolic or something, not like a dream. So the last thing that I want to say about what it is I like about this record is it's meta, in that the record itself is Trickist. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of presented as 10 explorations in Trickism, which is sort of almost clinical. But the way that it's presented is wrong. So the big example I'll give you is the number of tracks on the record is 9.
Okay, well, that's funny. Maybe the 10th one is your own Trickist experience that you have.
Right, well, because it's called 10 Explorations in Trickism, and then there's only 9 tracks on it. And you're like, well, like, what's the 10th exploration in Trickism? And it...
You staring at the employee sign at the burger restaurant is the 10th one.
And then another example of that would be, there's a track on there that isn't Trickist. Right? Like there's this clarinet piece that introduces the B side of the record. So the A side of the record is all vocal stuff, and then the B side is all instrumental stuff. And the first recording on the B side is this piece called Duet for Clarinet or something. Mm-hmm. The piece itself is not, there's nothing weird about it. It's a totally normal clarinet duet. But the thing is, because of the way the record is framed,
yes,
as a collection of Trickist music, you go into it, and one of the most successful pieces of Trickism on the record is this piece that isn't Trickist. because you anticipate it being trickist, and you spend the entire time listening to it with this mindset where you're like, okay, I'm waiting for the trick. Like, when am I going to be fooled? Like, it's going to do something weird, you know? And then it never comes. It's just normal. You spend the entire time going like, okay, what happened? And then you get to the end and you're like, what? Like, did I miss something?
Hmm. So like, the normal thing becomes a trick. I like that.
Exactly. So it is a trickist record about trickism. And I think that's something I like about it, where it's this kind of meta thing, where it's not only a collection of trickist works, but the record itself is a little bit trickist.
University Street Tunnel Station, Seattle Art Museum, Seattle Central Library.
Subject, library question, answer, question number 11647803. Please reply above this line. Anything below this line will not be sent in your reply. We do not accept attachments via this reply method. Thank you for contacting the Seattle Public Library regarding the composer of the music on the 10 Explorations in Trickism LP. I was unable to positively identify any additional information on the composer for this record, nor was I able to find it for interlibrary loan request. Here is some related material you may find interesting. Here is a link to the LP entry on Discogs. Although it doesn't contain more information on the composer, it does include photographs of the record cover and track listing. Here's a reference to the 10 Explorations in Trickism LP, which appeared in The Wire magazine in March 1962. I hope you find this information useful. Please let us know if we can assist you further. Sincerely, Richard, the Seattle Public Library, Arts, Recreation, and Literature.
That is strange. I guess the thing about it is with this is that we really don't know at this point.
Right.
The story. And I think it's just really calling into question that, you know, the story here might be more complex than it originally seemed.
So I did a whole series of interviews with people. And one of them was Austin Larkin.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of side note, if you were to describe Austin Larkin for an audience.
Mm. I saw him one time play a piece. I think it was called The Blood Piece. It was him and a guitar player. He had some paper that was staff paper, and then he cut himself and then bled onto the paper, and then wherever the blood fell is where that the guitar player played a note.
I interviewed Austin, and then later that night, I got a call from Austin Larkin. And he says, hey, what was the name of the composer for the 10 Explorations in Trickism record? And I was like, Linda Alden. And he's like, this is on the Avant-Garde project, the one that's linked to on Ubu Web. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I can't find it. You know, and I was sort of like, okay. You know, like, you're wrong. Like, it's there. Like, I know it's there. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I got it from. Like, it would have to be there. Just give me a second, and I will find a link to it, and then I'll just text it to you. So he hangs up, and I go on to the Avant-Garde project, and I search for Linda Alden, and I get no hits, and I do a search for trickism, you know? I get no hits, and I'm sort of freaking out at this point, and so I start reading through the title of every single record that's on the Avant-Garde project, and I get through like the entire list, and I've read through all of them, and Linda Alden and 10 Explorations in Trickism isn't listed anywhere on the Avant-Garde project.
Okay, yeah, that's very strange.
And
this is after your email, after you emailed them?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. That is, this happens chronologically after I send an email to the Avant-Garde project guy, but I didn't get a response, right?
So you emailed them. Didn't get a response.
I didn't get some sort of like, hey.
Okay, now this is getting
Now, this is really getting strange. This is really taking a turn.
So I go home, and I check, because my copy of the Avant-Garde Project is downloaded on a hard drive, right? Like, that's the thing to remember, that's what I have, is a copy of it downloaded, and that's how I listen to it, is that okay. I've been listening to these things on a random.
I didn't realize that. Okay, that's...
And it's, I still have it. Maybe isn't a huge surprise, but I'm sort of like, oh my god, like so, maybe this doesn't exist at all. And I go and I look on my own hard drive, and I'm pretty sure it's installment 138.
And is this an installment when you have just the recording, or do you have basically that web page you can pull up that used to be there?
No, I just, so my, what it looks like for me, which is actually basically the same as the web page, because the web page is pretty bare bones, is I have folders that are numbered and then have the name of whatever is in it. And then the contents of the folder is the audio recordings and a text file with the liner notes. And so my copy has 138 being 10 Expeditions to Trickism, but the one that's on the website is not there. And so it's not on the Avant-Garde Project.
Okay, well, that's, wow. Well, that's, this is, I don't know what to think, make, think about that. That's, I guess, astonishing in a certain way. That's, wow. Somebody took it off of that website for some reason when you contacted them. Why did they do that?
I have no idea. I don't. My belief is not that it was taken down when I contacted them, and the reason for that is that I got an email back, and it was a domain failure notice. Do you know when you send an email and it doesn't go through, and you get an email back that's just sort of like, yeah, this email failed to send.
Yeah, because the email doesn't exist.
Right.
Well, who did say that the domain failure notice, who did it say that it was from?
Lou@avantgardeproject.org was the email I tried to send something to that failed. When I checked what the email was again on the site, the second time around, it was agp@gale.cs.bath.ac.uk.
All right, that's... weird. I don't know what to say about that.
So then the suspicion becomes that I was a victim of bad timing. You know torrents?
Mm-hmm.
It was a torrent that I downloaded that had the entire Avant-Garde Project. So that was the, like, mechanism by which I got that.
Well, when you contacted the library, did they not mention that it was on the Avant-Garde Project?
Yes, they didn't mention that it was on the Avant-Garde Project.
They did not?
They did not.
This email change... is weird. Why did you go on the website? How did you acquire the email originally?
It's on the Avant-Garde Project website. So I Google, here's the steps. Step one, I Google Avant-Garde Project.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, the Avant-Garde Project webpage comes up. I click on that. Step three, in there, there's a contact email. That's the way I get to the email. Pretty straightforward. And I know the Avant-Garde Project is the same Avant-Garde Project as the one I downloaded because... everything else about it is pretty much the same, right? Like the other installments, the other records on it exist.
But you don't know that for everything, though, because it's too immense.
I don't know that for everything.
But you're saying that when you're looking at it, just glancing over it, that they look to be the same.
It is the same. There's not two Avant-Garde Projects that are cataloging old records.
Right, but this torrent could have been if this thing was in the torrent, not the original website. This torrent could have the same name. But be different. Anybody could put something on it through torrent.
Right, and here's the other problem with it.
It says Avant-Garde Project. It could have a lot of things from Avant-Garde Project, but other things that aren't.
I don't have the original torrent either.
But you sent a new email also to...
to the new one. Here's what happened with that.
Oh, something happened with that.
Right.
Okay.
I got a domain failure notice.
Oh.
Here is the important discovery about all of this. There is no Avant-Garde Project website. And then I'm supposed to introduce you. That one's Claire. She's pretty cool. Used to date Nick. Did you know that Nick is like my co-host for this project?
I like that that's made it into the podcast.